Right, Tazria, Tavshin Ayin Ches. So it starts off with Dabar Shem Moshe Leimor. Dabar El Bnei Yisrael Leimor. Isha Ki Tazria V'Yolda Zechar. V'Tamar Shiva Semim. Kimei Nidas Dvosa Titma. This is Isha Ki Tazria. Conceive, right? Yolda Zachar. She gives birth to a Zachar, a male baby. V'tam'ah shivasimim, she'll be tmeya 7 days. In other words, even if she saw no blood, but really caught, but from the lady itself. Right, she's really called Tmei Shivas Yamim. Kimei Nidas Tvosa Titma. Just like the days of her Nida, if she'd been a Nida, she'd also be Tmei for 7 days. Right? Uvayom Hashmini Yimol B'sar Olasa. And on the eighth day, you will be Mal, you'll do the mitzvah of Mila B'sar Olasa, B'sar, the flesh of his Orla, in other words, of this male baby. The question is, the topic over here is birth. The topic here is the dinim of Tumah V'Tahara, the birth, as it continues on in the Pesukim. It talks about, you know, how many days afterwards would it go out to, is the even blood that she might see considered blood that's not that doesn't cause her Tumah, that's considered blood of Tahara, and then the end, what takes place, what sort of process takes place afterwards. In terms of korbanos and things like that, what she's prevented from doing all those days of her until she brings those korbanos. So why are we bringing in the middle over here this din of mila? I mean, it's true, there's a din of mila, but it's not really the topic. The topic is Tumah V'Tahara, right? It's not the topic of mila. Mila is we know in Parshas Lech Lecha, all the dinim of mila are written over here. All of a sudden, here we decide to put in, you know, it's something that has to be done to the baby. This is a topic about the woman and her status of Tumah V'Tahara. So the Pasuk in Tehillim says, let's take a look, there's some very, very fundamental ideas here. Right? Pasuk in Tehillim says, Achor v'kedem Tartani, Vatoshes Alai Kapecha. So there are a lot of ways to understand this pasuk. Achor means backwards. Kedem in frontwards. Yeah. Tartani. The word Tartani itself could have a lot of meanings. The word Tartani can mean to form me, like a tsura, right? You give a shape for me, right? Yeah, Tzartani, or right, like it says Kichomer Biyad Hayotze, like we say on Yom Narayim, right? I'm like clay in the hands of the potter, right? Shaping me. Tzartani could mean also a terminology of siege, like a matzor. Matzor is a siege. Right, you've set me under siege, but we're not going with that perish over here because that's not the way that the Medrash is going to address it. We'll go with the Radak here. Achor v'kerem tzartani v'atoshes alai kapecha, and you have placed your hand on me. So let's see what the Radak says. See the Radak right underneath there, right? Radak says Achor v'kerem tzartani perish adoni avi. Right, the Radak says my father explained it as follows: Bitziras ha'uber bebeten imo. In the formation of the fetus inside his mother's belly, who perish satani inyan tsura, like you said, right? Like what do you call a form, right? When you mitsayer, when you draw, so then you're giving it a form, as it were, right? It's satani. Va'amar v'atoshes alai kapecha. You have placed your hands upon me, k'mosha osim l'gvina, like you do to cheese. You shape it. Right, kapecha, your kaf, right? You put upon me your hand, right? So then you've shaped me. Al derech ka'u kagvina takpieni v'rotzalom v'atoshes alai lemidas ha'orech shesam l'uber mida. In other words, you stretch me out, you shape me, etc. Fine. Says the Medrash, on here on this pasuk, Isha ki tazria, who dichsiv achor v'kedem tzartani.
The backdrop is still trying to find why the mila is.
Yeah, what does mila have to do over here? Why they put it in the midst of mila? Right, it's true. On the 7 days she's gonna be tamei, and on the 8th day you're gonna have to do mila on the kid. But we're not talking about him. We're talking about her, right? These are all dinim of her. How long she's gonna be tamei? How long the dam will be tahor? What you'll do at the end of that time period? What korbanis would you have to bring? What is her status in that intermediate period? Even though she's tahora, can she go into the mikveh? A mikdash? Can she kodesh? These are all her dinim. All of a sudden, boom! Now we're gonna talk about. Oh, by the way, on the 8th day, it's like it's Kilu saying, okay, 7 days she's gonna be tamei, and on the 8th day, you know what? I think she should buy herself, a new outfit so she'll be happy. I mean, what's the kesher? So it says a medrash, Isha ki tazria, hu v'chziv achor v'kedem tzartoni. Backwards and forwards you form me. Amar Rav Yochanan, im zacha adam nochel shnei olamos. So now the medrash is using the word achor, backwards, and kedem before, at the end, achor would be the epilogue,
the end.
Right?
With the end of what?
So we're gonna see, right? And kedem will be like the prologue and epilogue, kilu. Yeah, achor v'kedem tzartani, the same pasuk we just saw, The same pasuk we just saw. So the same pasuk we saw in Tehillim, but the Medrash understands it is referring to Amar Rav Yochanan, Im zacha adam nochel shnei olamos. If a person merits, then he inherits two worlds. Hazeh v'ahba. This one and the next one. Right? Hu dichsiv, that is that which it says, achor v'kedem tzartani. Right? V'im lav ba liten din v'cheshbon shneim v'atosh salai kapecha ki dechsiv kapecha ame alai harchek.
Harchek is far?
To distance. In other words, he says as follows. He says, if a person is zocha, in other words, he does things properly, so he's nochel shnei olamos. He inherits two worlds. He inherits two worlds. What are the two worlds? This one and the next one. And so the achor v'kedem, right? The achor v'kedem is a, you could say the. I mean, it's hard to know. Achor can be the end, meaning olam haba, and the kedem could be that which is first, olam hazeh, right? You could learn it the other way around also. You know, the goal of when man was created was for olam haba, and then afterwards you recall it's like, it's what happens afterwards, just part of olam hazeh, in order to be okay. It doesn't make it clear. If he's not zocha, if he doesn't do it right, and as he doesn't
live his life right,
so then he's not zocha, he doesn't merit two olamos. Ela, what is it? He has to give a din v'cheshbon. He's going to be. Have to be cleansed in the grand dry cleaning plant, right? But that's what the end of the pasuk says. Vatoshes alai kapecha, you get a smack. You place your hand upon me. There's like you got to scrape off the dirt, squeeze out the bad juice, etc. Vatoshes alai kapecha, you place your hand upon me. You place your hand upon me, and you have to rectify me. So achor v'kerem tzartani. You give me the opportunity, to be zocha, to merit two worlds, this one and the next one, right? If you don't deal with it right, then the result is, batashis alai kopecha, that you place your hand upon me and you have to reform me, you have to shape me, you have to cleanse me, you etc. Okay. It says it's vasemes, okay? But medrash. Achor v'kerem tzartani. Zocha.
You really haven't said anything.
What?
You haven't really said anything about the.
No, of course not. Oh, okay. No, of course not. We have to.
Just to make sure I'm understanding.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
we gotta
get rid of this says what he says the Sfasemis Bamedrash. Achor v'kedem tzartani zacha nochel beoz olamos. If he merits, he inherits two worlds. Perish, that is to say, shemamshich nachal, the idea of nachala is an inheritance. But the reason it's used, the word nachala is used for it, is because it flows from the source, just like a nachal, just like a stream. It flows from the source where, when the father, as it were, passes on, so those things that were a part of his life now flow to his descendants. That's why it's called a nachla, like a nachal, like a stream. Uh-huh. Right? She says, Zacha nochel beis olamos. Per shemamshich nachal v'chibur mishorish achius ela hester v'ahelem sheyesh be'olam hazeh. In other words, if a person deals with his life correctly, so he draws the stream of connection to the from his source of life, which is upstairs, and he draws that source of purity into here, into this world where things are hidden, into this world, into Olam Hazeh. Ki ma shevach shenochel Olam Hazeh. It can't be just telling you, oh, you'll be rich, right, in this world. Right? That's not the issue. The issue is what you call the transformation of this world. In other words, if you live right, then you transform, you draw the nachal, you draw, as it were, from your source in heaven, and you bring it down into this world, and that in turn becomes, your next world. In other words, you have a source of connection of purity in Shemayim, but that was all a gift. That's all a gift. If you live right, then you bring that source of purity in Shemayim down into this world where Hashem's presence is hidden. And that in turn is the source of your Olam Haba afterwards. That's the two Olamos. Ach mashe mechaber Olam Hazel, Olam Elyon, Kanal. Fine. The Isa. Kol Yisrael yeshtem chelik Olam Haba. All the Jewish people have a chelik Olam Haba. Perish gam ba'olam hazeh kol maaseim yesh bem chelek pnimius meor hatzofun shenignas b'maas ha'gashmi. In other words, when it says kol yisrael yesh lem chelek olam haba, it says a chiddush. It's not just you got a chelek; you will have a chelek in olam haba. You already have a chelek in olam hazeh of olam haba. In other words, Hashem has given you your olam haba in olam hazeh. Just it's hidden; it's buried. Right? You have to dig it out.
But we don't want that, though.
Why?
We want the Olam Ha'emes Olam Ha'emes.
Right, no, it's Olam Haba is what comes from your transforming. In other words, what you've done is, here you've got your in upstairs, you've got your source of purity. But that's all a gift. It's not, you didn't work for that. So you can't go get schar for that. You just have that. But it's not schar, it's not reward. And also you're not similar to your creator, because it's not like you've done anything for it, right? It's not like you've shaped it yourself, you've formed it yourself, you made yourself. It is. You draw it down into this world, and what you've done is what he called, is really embedded in this world. What Hashem did is he said he embedded in this world all of your Olam Haba.
All of it?
It's all here in this world. The only thing is, it's hidden. It's hidden. So what you do when you live according to your source, so then what you do is you're like a magnet. You connect, right? You connect your holiness through your effort, in the process of your effort, to dig through with your Congo, your concrete breaking drill. You break through all the layers and you connect to the truth that's embedded in everything. And it's your effort, as it were, your effort that transforms your connection to this truth into not being what you came from, which was a gift, but transforms into what is your Olam Haba.
Is that why it says in Tehillim, Hashem, show me the fullness of your... show me your path so I can enjoy the fulfillment of your presence.
I'm asking for Siyata Deshmaya. I'm asking to be able to find.
But it's not our effort, is that a gift?
No, because no, first of all, you're doing it through tefillah, and also he's not going to do the whole job for you. He's just going to help you do the job, right? Not gonna do the whole job for me. So it's like, you know, let's. Vizeh haya mechavein brias ha'adam.
I guess through all this hidden source, it is our job to keep on the right track through all the swinging and distractions.
Right, all this track, to you. Vizeh haya mechuvan brias ha'adam b'olam hazeh k'di l'taken kol ha'briya l'varer sh'akol mi'chius Hashem Yisbarach. That's the job description of man in olam hazeh, that he should, as it were, he should clarify that all, everything is from Hashem. But in order to do that, you got to get that internal point.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you got to get, in order to clarify, in order to show it, you have to get to that internal point. Right? We relate, you know, we relate to the external. The external thing is, this is a pain in the patoot. Or record, or, you know, this is happening to me because God's ignoring me or hates me or something like that, right? That's not the issue. The issue is what it's called, is that His will is here and it's all for my good. So then I've penetrated the concrete enclosure that hides that, right? I'm just living on the outside, but if I penetrate it, so then I've shown that everything is from Hashem and everything from Hashem is always good. Vizeo Sha'amar didn't mean to say it means necessarily it's pleasant, but it's always good, right? Vizeo Sha'amar Achor Vakedem. Achron Lamaisa, Varishon Bimachshova. And as Achron Lamaisa, Varishon Bimachshova. The Achor Vakedem is a reference to the recognition of what. The reason why God created me, which is the Kedem, that's the beginning. Why did He create me? What did He put me here on this earth for? That's the before.
That's this world.
That's from my source of creation. Uh-huh. That's the Kedem, and the Achor is what He called is the Maisa that I do. In other words, I know my source, and the Achor is the Maisa that I do to reveal the point of that source that's found here in the physical world. Achron l'maisa, the achor is the act, right, that I do actually over here, and the rishon is b'machshava, the kedem, the first thing is the machshava, the Hashem's, Hashem as my source before I came to this world.
That's what we want to recognize.
Right. Ki adam ha-sholem, shekol ma'asav b'machshava u'dveikus b'shorash ha-chayim u'mezakeh kol ha-briya. A person who, right, all of his deeds and his machshava and his what he calls an attachment to the source of life, he in turn has done something meritorious for the entire creation. He's transformed creation. I mean, besides the fact
that
he's transformed creation, he's lifted up all of creation.
When he's
attached to his source in the way that he relates to physical creation, he's lifted up the creation.
How do you figure that?
Because
he's lifted himself up.
He's lifted himself, but he's all the way that he's lifting himself up is by lifting up creation, by showing it's not just, you know, physical things, it's not just dollars and cents, it's not just what makes you happy or whatever it is. It's all about something much deeper than that. So that he's transformed the superficiality of creation into something much deeper. He's removed the superficiality. Like money, right? So if I relate to money on its surface, so money gives me power, and money gives me pleasure. Right, I have power now. I can do what I want, and pleasure. And it affords me opportunity to give myself more pleasure in this world. So that's what he called that. He's saying that's what's superficial. Right, that's something that has no connection to God per se. That has to do about just doing myself. So that means when a person lives like that, he's implicitly stating the world is detached from God. But when I have money, right? And I use it, yeah, in a proper fashion. Because why? Because that's what I know Hashem wants from me. So I'm linking that money, which has all the potential to be totally too superficial, to a higher source.
Then you can change the creation.
Right, I've uplifted it. Someone did what he called that this new creation, which looks like it's, God forbid, detached from God, is like, on the contrary, it's just another playing field upon which Hashem's presence it becomes apparent.
What else? That money is only a...
Yeah, it's with everything. Everything.
Kiddush Hashem.
Yeah, what do you call it?
All mitzvahs, that's okay.
All mitzvahs, what do you call it? All experiences, right? Someone bugs me. So if I relate to the experience of his bugging me, so it's like, you know, I'm living now and I get angry. I get angry as a result of it. So call a koes, kiel over to Vodazara. A person who gets angry is why? Because he's forgotten that Hashem is involved in what just happened over here. Why? Because Hashem's not here. It's just this guy and me. This guy's bugging me. So therefore I'm angry with him. I hate him. I'm going to blow him away. Right? So that reaction implicitly is stating that the world is detached from God. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with Hashem. But if I understand that this experience that I'm going through is also designed by Hashem, and I relate to it accordingly, so I've said that I've shown that the world is not detached from Hashem. Quite on the contrary, everything that is and everything that transpires in the world is an expression of Hashem's will.
So a normal situation where a normal person would get extremely angry over something and a religious Jew doesn't, then
he's doing the Kaddish Shem Shamayim.
He's doing Shamayim.
All right. Right. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Today. Let's go.
Okay. Right. Special. L'chach nivra basof. That's why man was created at the end. He's placed. And there's the playing field has been placed in front of him, and then man is the last creation. Now the playing field is set for you.
I don't understand that.
In other words, the man is the last creation.
Right.
Right? He's the last in he's the last thing he
created.
So he's the first thing in Hashem's will. Man is the first thing in Hashem's will. In other words, everything that the whole world that Hashem made is only because beforehand man was the intention. Tzelem Elokim, the Baal Bechira, the person of free choice,
yeah.
The creation of free choice. But he's the last. He's Achor. He's Kedem in Hashem's will, and he's Achor in the actual appearance. Because since the whole purpose of man, the whole purpose is for man, and the whole way that man fulfills his purpose is by transforming the playing field. So the whole playing field has to be made first. That includes all of Mitzvah Bereishis, and then comes man at the end. He now enters on the 50-yard line.
For what reason is that?
To now recall to play on the playing field in a way that reveals Hashem's presence in everything that is there and everything that transpires there, and from that comes his Olam Haba.
Yes, man would have been created the second day or the third day.
So then it misses the point, right? If his whole job is to transform. Right, this world. So it doesn't make sense that it comes. That would imply that the world is here to meet his needs. But since it's not what do you call, he enters into the world to transform the world. So therefore, the whole world has to be prepared because every part of the world is transformable.
And then again, if the world was created perfectly as is, what was it to transform?
So then there'd be no point in creation. Could have just left them upstairs. We don't need a creation then.
The world itself is perfect. And man,
if the world itself were perfect, there's nothing a man to do.
Nothing
to
be a man.
So there's no person creating man.
If man wasn't created perfect. Therefore, we have to perfect ourselves.
What is he going to perfect himself in? It's all right in front of him. If everything is perfect, he has no struggle.
There's nothing. There's not room to do. He's bored. I mean, there's really nothing room to do. It's all done already.
So after a man recognizes Hashem's presence, what's left? Olamaba dies and goes away, I guess.
What?
So after a man recognizes Hashem's influence in the whole world, like the Kiddush Hashem, then what's left for a man?
Okay, but that's easier said than done, right? It's not just it's something intellectual. It's something that has to be, right, becomes part of man's emotional system and man's system of action, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he sees himself as, you know, oh, I think holy and maybe even feel holy, yeah, but when it comes to action, I act according to my goof. I act according to the world and superficial.
And it's our job to perfect ourselves.
Right, but the way we perfect ourselves is by what he called it is by extracting, right, Hashem's presence, revealing Hashem's presence that is in everything and in every event.
We were given the spark.
Yeah, of course.
We just have to make it grow.
Right. We have to nurture that which is in the highest of us, and that enables us to magnetic pull to find the kudah of Hashem's presence in the object of the event.
So nurturing the spark changes the whole world because it's bringing light down from the whole world.
Okay.
Nurture the spark.
Right. Ulchach.
That's the purpose of the whole creation. We have to nurture this spark. Mm-hmm. That's what God wanted.
And that we'll receive reward for a job well done, as opposed to a freebie. Lachach v'yad kishenivra ba imo hester uklipa. Right? That's why when he's born, right? When he's created, along with his creation comes hiddenness. The hiddenness of Hashem's. Right. That's why it starts off with 7 days. There's tumah preceding the mitzvah of milah. Now we begin to touch on why the mitzvah of milah here is. In other words, this is called these psukim here are defining, right, the emergence of man. The emergence of man first starts the physical creation, and with that physical creation, with the conception, and then there's the birth. And with that birth then comes what he called comes 7 days of tumah. 7 days of tumah. And what he called why is that there? Because now on the eighth day there's milah to cleanse away the tumah, to cleanse away the hiddenness, to reveal the light.
Yeah, but still the woman hasn't gone to the mikveh yet, she still has the tumah.
True, but what do you call it? I mean, at the end of 7 days she can go to the mikveh. She's going to go to the mikvah. But again, we're talking about the idea of the tumor precedes, and then comes the mitzvah of milah is part of the cleansing process, the part of extracting that which is hidden from its world of hiddenness, because tumor is always blockage. Tumor is always hidden. Tet mem, words, tame, tamun, hidden, atum, stuffed up, right? Right? These are all blockage. The milah comes and removes the blockage. It removes a stuffed up drain, as it were. Sha'al yidei, al yidei shemevatel, kol zayin midos, bilti la Hashem levado, ha'yidezeh mizdabek, yeah, ba'olam ha'elyon, shalemalam en ha'tev, ha'yidezeh nechrosim kol ha'klipos. V'zeo sh'omer v'yom ha'shmini yimol. Now, on the eighth day, comes the process by which all this is cleansed.
For a Jew.
Right. Yeah.
To develop himself.
Right.
Receive reward.
Right. Fine. Okay. Vizeo Shomar here, we'll go down over here. The Medrash Kimila Achar Shabbos. That's why Mila comes after Shabbos.
There's no mila can ever take place prior to Shabbos. Prior to Shabbos. Sha'avar ala yelad.
Oh, we always have one Shabbos.
Before. There's always a Shabbos before, what do you call it, before the mila that takes place. Right? Ki al yedei b'china Shabbos mizgala chiyus ha'pnimius she'ish b'chol nivraim. That through the Shabbos is revealed, right, the aspect, the internal aspect, the pnimius, she'ish b'chol nivraim, that exists in all of creations. By day zeh,
I have to start that again.
V'zeh she'amar b'medrash, that's what it says in the medrash. Kamila achar Shabbos. Mila always comes after Shabbos. She'avar al yelad, that passed over the yelad. Ki al yedei b'china Shabbos, because through the aspect of Shabbos, right? Through the aspect of Shabbos,
yeah.
Right? Through the aspect of Shabbos, Mizgale is revealed chius apnimius, the internal source of life of everything. Sheish b'chol nivram, that exists in all creations. Va'idezeh yochol lotzeis mehezger, that way a person can remove himself from being from the hezger, from his being hezger. What do you call it? Being sagur, blocked off. Right? Ulahasir hachitzonius hamastir nekudas apnimis. And to remove that which is external, which is covering over the internal source, the internal truth. V'hu al yedei b'chines habitul yosbatul epnimius achius. So the medrash he's referring to is this medrash over here. Medrash says, "V'haya shiva yomim tachas imo." Right, it's talking about by a korban. You can't bring a korban until it's been 7 days with its mother. Only on the eighth day can an animal be brought as a korban after its birth. And the medrash compares it to mila. Mila can't be done until 7 days have passed already over the child. It's comparable to a king who enters into a kingdom. No one will see my face until he sees first the queen. Pnei Hamatrona, the queen. Meaning the Shabbos queen. Right. Tchila. Kach omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo taviyu lefanai korban at shetavar lov Shabbos. She'in zayin yomim below Shabbos. Ve'in mila below Shabbos. Hu dechziv hu yom hashmini v'hala yirotzeh. Right? In other words, what Shabbos reveals, it reveals it's the table of contents. When Shabbos comes, so we see that the purpose of the world, since Shabbos is the day in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused his presence to enter into the world in a fashion that's findable for us, that's what happens on Shabbos, right? 6 days of the week, Hashem shapes, as it were, the outer part of creation. It's all his will, but he's still not recognizable yet. On Shabbos, he introduces into the world his presence in a fashion that becomes findable for us. So therefore, the mila, which the whole goal of which is the act of removing the external appearance of things and connecting to its internal truth, the mila takes place after Shabbos, because the Shabbos is the table of contents that reveals to you that that's what the world is about. Because it's on Shabbos that Hashem introduces, in a findable fashion for us, his presence into our world. Again, all the world is his will, right? But it doesn't mean necessarily it's findable to us. On Shabbos, there's the entry of his presence in a fashion that becomes findable for us. That becomes the table of contents, the context in which now mila can be given as a mitzvah. That's why every mila has to succeed a Shabbos.
or every korban can't be brought close to Hashem until it's gone through Shabbos, because Shabbos is explaining why is there a korban which needs to be brought close? How can it be? How can you come close? Yes, you can come close, because Shabbos is the point of entry in which Hashem brings His presence close to us, or within reach of our making ourselves close to Him.
No, we were just born. We just came out of the womb. We were learning Torah for 7. We should have that authority already with us.
What, the Torah?
Yeah, we should already have that.
Once when the child is born, you know, they say that the fact that Malach gives him a flick, right, it causes him to forget his Torah. So Maral says the pshat in that is he gives him the potential to speak. Once, right, a person has the potential to speak, which means that he has the ability now to guide himself through his expression of the truth that's inside of me. Now, right, that itself hides, right? Right? It hides his connection to Hashem. Because now he is becoming now a creator in his world here. So he's full of himself. He's full of himself. That koach adibur. Now he has to dig himself out. That's why
He's only 9 or 8 days old.
Say it, I understand. But has the potential, right, to speak already. He can't. He has nothing to say yet. Right?
Yeah.
But he has the potential to speak. So that's what removes from him that connection to Hashem. Because again,
you have the potential to speak, it removes the connection from Hashem.
That removes that clarity that he had from upstairs. That's the passageway. Upstairs, everything is clear, but it's all a gift, right? Downstairs, a man is called a medaber, right? Like in Baba Kama, right? The Arba Avos and Zikin, Hashor, Habor, Hamave, Vahever. Yeah. Mave. What's Mave? So says what he called the two pshatim in Mave. Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Is Mave Shein, you know, when the animal eats? Was Mave Adam Hamazik? Why? Why is Mave called Adam Hamazik? Because the pasuk says, right, Im Tivayun Boyu Shuva Esayu. In other words, man is being a Mavakesh, Boyun, to want, to speak out his tefillah. That's what man is. So now that is, he would equate, upstairs everything is clear, but it's all a gift. Downstairs, things are not clear. Man's got to dig himself out. Man has to create his world. He has to think properly, speak properly, act properly, and there he reveals Hashem's presence within his world. He reveals Hashem's presence within himself.
Only through speaking. There's a mental process with speaking.
Right.
It has to be developed to understand.
Right.
Understand eternity and Hashem's truth.
Right. So when you get the koach to be able to speak, that means you've left the world of clarity where Hashem speaks and you listen. Right. Now you speak. Now you have to sanctify your speech, as it were. All right.
What thing in creation? This is unbelievable. Really. The design, the design and dynamic of Hashem did.
Right. Let's see one more Sfas Emes. This one is a Bereishis. Truth is, we did this one once before. Right. It says, "Beparshas Mila hisalach lefanei ve'yatami." This is when Hashem introduces the mitzvah of Mila to the Avram. Isa b'medrash tanchumam. Right. Hischil. Tama. Achshav ani chaser. Ukesha amu eya shalem. So Hashem tells him, walk before me and be perfected. Tomim. Right now I'm chaser. I'm missing. Right?
When?
Before I've done the Mila.
Uh-huh.
Right.
There's another Svasemus.
Yeah, then there's this Svasemus in Bereishis in Lech Lecha. Kibavadai me'achar shezuha orla tzrichim ha'siro.
right? Bevadai ein bo pnimius. If the orla has to be removed. So this is a piece of physicality that has no pnimius. In other words, everything else is meant to be transformed. This is meant to be destroyed. Right? Right? This is meant to be destroyed. The orla is meant to be destroyed.
There's no connection to physicality and spirituality.
I didn't say that. I said there is one piece of physicality, right, that needs to be destroyed. Right? It has to be cut off, eradicated. It's like a molech. There is a part in the Bria that needs to be removed. The rest can be sanctified because it has something internal implanted in it. Here, the presence of this is what gives us b'chirikot.
And we were talking about the physicality. You're talking about the sexual experience.
No, I'm talking about anything physical. Uh-huh. I mean, it happens to be the b'chirikot. This part of it has to be, there's an aspect of it, yeah? There's an aspect of it that needs to be, what do you call it? Like the Mor Nevuchim says, the reason that Mila is done, right, or Dafka over there, is to show that, what do you call it, that shouldn't be the be-all and end-all of creation. Uh-huh. Right? So therefore, that, what do you call it, that tfisa, that experience of where, you know, this is what life is about, you know? Right? Uh-huh. Like what do you call it, like the advertisements on the billboards, you know, what do you call it, alive with pleasure. Right, go. When are you alive? When you experience the ultimate pleasure, ultimate physical pleasure. That's when you're alive. That tfisa, that what do you call it? That understanding, that perception, needs to be eradicated. It doesn't mean that a person is not going to experience something of pleasure in this world, but the perception that's when you're alive, right? Is what do you call it? You're only really alive when you're experiencing the ultimate pleasure. That has to be eradicated because that all leads back to what you call the ultimate physical pleasure. It's all then I've now put myself into an egocentric universe, which is a false universe, as opposed to a God-centric universe. Ki agufu malbush anefesh v'aneshama. The goof is the clothing, as it were, of the nefesh and the neshama.
Body.
Right, the body. The goof has to be rectified so that it can receive this the pnimius. Va'az nikra tamim, then it can be tamim, it can be perfected. And as long as there is this aspect of the goof which says that life itself is only about the ultimate pleasure, until that's removed, I can't possibly sanctify the rest of the goof. I can't sanctify the rest of physicality. If there's no statement, if there's no act that declares that life itself, right, that declares that the perception that life itself is only about ultimately and totally and completely and constantly without a stop experiencing physical pleasure, so that I can't sanctify the rest of the goof. The Isa Shebnei Yisrael Yesh Lehem Shtei Osos. Oh, so the Mila is mistak in the goof. They remove that part that needs to be removed. In order to be able to sanctify the rest of the physicality. Including that aspect of physicality. Right, including that aspect, the act, what do you call, you're talking about what do you call about coitus, yeah, right, we call that also can be sanctified, but it's only if we call the point at which, yeah, where a person's perception is that there is nothing in life other, right? Oh, life, yeah. Is only that, right? The Isa Shebnei Yisrael Yesh Lehem Shtei Osos, right? It says that Bnei Yisrael have two osos, two, as it were, symbols, testimonies, right, upon them. Shabbos and Mila. Shabbos and Mila. Ubechol tefillin u'mila. On Shabbos you have Shabbos and Mila. During the week you have tefillin and Mila. Ki atfilin him gam kein ha'oras ha'neshama ha'meira ba'odom. Because tefillin also, right, are the light of the neshama that is inside the person is unlocked by the tefillin.
The tefillin now?
Right, when a person wears tefillin, ki atfilin him gam kein ha'oras ha'neshama ha'meira ba'odom ba'es kiyum ha'mitzvah. Kamo shekasuv. When you're wearing the tefillin properly, right, with the right kavana, the tefillin becomes a portal through which your internal light shines out. That's what the pasuk says. And the nations of the world will see, yeah, that the name of Hashem is upon you and will be afraid of you, because they'll see emanating from inside. Because what the tefillin is the key that unlocks the door to your internal holiness. Yeah? Okay. Ukmochim b'Shabbos. So to in Shabbos. Sheyesh neshama yisera kol hayom. Person experienced on Shabbos neshama yisera. Right? So once again, the neshama yisera is what you call it, is an aspect of neshama that we call that becomes apparent on a person. That's why it says, you know, Vayivarach Elokim es Yom Hashvi, Hashem blessed, what he called Yom Hashvi, say Chazal, says the Medrash, Shebirchu b'me'or panav shel adam. The face of a person is what he called is different on Shabbos. I mean, unless he's blocking it, yeah. Right? Right? So Shabbos and Tefillin, as it were, unlock, right? Unlock or cause an aspect of a person's internal Hashem connected reality to shine forth. Nachon. Vayidei hamila yicholin lekabel he'oros ha'ele. And through mila, right? Through mila, now a person has the ability for that light to shine forth. That's why mila always has to be there. Because mila is what enables that to shine forth.
Even Shabbos.
Shabbos? Man. Through Shabbos or through tefillin. Right? Always, during the week, you got mila and tefillin. On Shabbos, you got mila and Shabbos. The isa ain kli machzik bracha el shalom. Right? Unless you have the shlemus of the guf and is removing the ultimate psul from the guf, which is what mila does, then you don't have a proper vessel to hold the bracha of either Shabbos or of tefillin. V'lachein, al-yidei mila shenasim tamim yecholim lekabel Shabbos. Therefore, through the mila, that a person becomes tamim, right, now he's able to be mekabel Shabbos. Shehu abracha, k'mo shekasav, yevarach es yom hashvi, like we said. Right, that's the bracha. Man is transformed. He transformed how his face, bercho, Hashem blessed it with ma'or panav shel adam. The face of a man is a glow. Right, the kedusha inside of him, as it were, resonates. It is reflected on the outside. It shines to the outside. But that's only possible because he has mila. Ubnei Yisrael mekablim bechinas hashabbos betocham mamish. And Bnei Yisrael, as it were, they makabel the Bechina of Shabbos inside of themselves. So now, just before we continue, we have a little bit of a contradiction here. On the one hand, the previous Svasem has told us, based upon the Medrash, that you can't do Mila until you experience Shabbos.
Right.
Uh-huh. So and now he's saying, what he called, that it's through Mila that one experiences Shabbos. There's a catch 22.
Yeah. Got it.
Valze omim bekiddush. This is what we say in Kiddush.
Kiddush.
Kiddush on Shabbos. What does it say here?
Friday night.
Yeah. Look what it says here. It's Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav V'Rat Tzavanu V'Shabbos Chodesho B'Av V'Ratzon Hinchilanu. Hashem gave us, what he called as a Nachala. Right? He gave us as a Nachala Shabbos. Right? Zikron l'maase bereshis, ki yom tchila l'mikrei kodesh. It is the predecessor. It's the prologue to all of the yom tovim. Zeich li tzias mitzrayim. Right, zeich li tzias mitzrayim.
Kivana b'chata v'san kiddush mikolami. V'shabbes kachecha be'avav rozon hin chaltanu. So here it says, v'shabbes kachecha, and your holy Shabbos, be'avav rozon, with love and favor, or your requal, whatever, your rozon. Yeah? Hin chaltanu.
It's our share.
You've given it to us. That's Listen, said it already here. It says it twice. Oh. So it says the Sfasemes. Right? ועל זה אומרים בקידוש היום ושבס קודשו הנחילנו ואחר כך שניס ושבס קודשך הנחלתנו twice, like we just pointed out. כי מקודם הברכה על כלל מצווה שבס שניתן לנו. The first part of the bracha relates to that we have the mitzvah of Shabbos. That we have the mitzvah of Shabbos. Because we're giving thanks to Hashem that He gave us, right, the mitzvah of Shabbos. What's the mitzvah of Shabbos? Tells us that what we call it, the presence of Hashem has been introduced into creation in a way that's findable to us. And He gave us that mitzvah. It's like the table of contents that we spoke about before. It's a table of contents that every Jewish child has to see, that table of contents, to know what we call it, to have the ability of why is he getting his milah. Because the milah is going to enable him to be able to perform on the playing field, but first he's got to read the table of contents, he's got to read the rule book. He has to see the rule book, he has to experience the rule book first.
All right, so you have to go back now. Why two times?
So he's explaining that now. So the first time is what he was going on the fact that we receive the mitzvah of Shabbos. Right? That's on the receiving the concept of Shabbos.
Okay?
Va'achar kach, who hal he'ora shemekablim b'nafshoseinu b'chol Shabbos v'Shabbos. The next thing is talking about the effect of the experience of our experiencing Shabbos. That what do you call it? That the neshama yisera, as it were, reflected, shines out of us. And there's two aspects to Shabbos. There is the knowledge that Shabbos exists, and that's what the child has to pass through before he can get his milah, because the milah is all about what you're going to do. But is it doable? You pass through Shabbos. It's doable because Hashem entered. It caused His presence to enter into the world. This is a reality. And the child passes through that reality, yeah, etc. And now he knows why he's receiving his milah. Because his milah is going to give him the ability to perform.
Unlock,
to be able to unlock all this thing. But before then, maybe it's not possible to do. No, you go through Shabbos, and you see that this is what happens on Shabbos. We receive the mitzvah of Shabbos. Hashem has given us, right, his presence in a findable fashion in this world. And that, right, that now that now you, now you can have milah. Now you can have milah.
Okay, you have to reflect on.
The other one is, once you've had milah, so now you experience Shabbos. And the light that's inside you begins to, what we call, burst out. And that's only possible because you've had a milah. That's only possible because you've had a milah.
So you're making some kind of a hekdesh with
Hanchilenu is the first one. That's the saying that Sfas Emes says. The first one, Hanchilenu, is that he gave us the mitzvah of Shabbos. Right, what do you call, which means that, which now we understand, what do you call, that's, we're giving thanks to Hashem, we're giving a bracha on the fact that He gave us the mitzvah of Shabbos. The second one is, in that, what is that, when we have the mitzvah of Shabbos, we experience Shabbos, and through experience Shabbos, it causes the light inside of us to shine out.
And so too with Mila.
Oh, Mila makes it possible to shine out. The first one is, I wouldn't know why, what am I getting Mila for? So I got to know why, because I got to know that Hashem is findable within my separations. That's the first aspect of Shabbos. Yeah? And that's why the experience of the passing over the time period of Shabbos, and now it becomes the backdrop upon which Mila is done. But then, what do you call, once you've got the Mila, then that enables the experience of Shabbos to cause the light inside of you to shine out. And that's Hinchaltanu. Okay, so I don't want to get lost, right, in something too complex after this, but I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
Women are called mehulim. If a guy takes a netter, a person takes a netter, I'm not going to benefit from any of the mehulin, those are circumcised, he's not allowed to derive benefit from a woman.
I mean halal.
What?
Being unsanctified, halal?
No.
Mehulin.
Start again. If I say that I'm not going to derive, I take a netter, I'm not going to derive any benefit from the mehulim. Mehulim means those who are circumcised. Mehul, mila. Mila, those who are the circumcised of this world.
Okay, I'm not going
so to... he's allowed to derive benefit from the Gentile world, even if they are circumcised, because they're could call a goyim arlele, because the mila didn't have any effect on them. Right? Even though they've physically been circumcised, but they're not called mehulim. But a woman, he's not allowed to derive benefit from her.
Okay.
A Jewish woman. Why? Because even though there's no circumcision, but she's called mehula. She is already, as it were, circumcised. Even though there's nothing to circumcise. Right? But she's considered though she's circumcised. Right? And that's what this Or Chaim is talking about. Right? But I'm afraid we'll get lost in the roundabouts.
Which one is this Or Chaim?
This Or Chaim over here. Right? It's actually much longer than this. I really,
why is he bringing this up now?
Because what does it say? How did the parsha start? Right?
Yeah.
Vaydaber Shem Moshe lemor. Daber b'nei Yisrael lemor. Isha ki sazria. When the woman, right, who be'etzem herself, she is mehula. Right?
Right.
And she does things right. V'yolda zachar. She will now bring a zachar into the world. Right? Now the zachar is not automatically mohul. He has to go through a process. She goes through v'tama shivas yamim, k'meidi nios rosa titma, v'yom ha'shmini yimol b'sar or loso. The woman who be'etzem is mehula, right? Her involvement in the process of conception, etc., and birth, her willingness to go through all the difficulty that involves carrying a child and doing it l'shem shamayim, right, etc., because he wants to bring another Jewish soul into the world. She, it becomes the source of the zachar who needs the mila. Who needs the mila. Right? And that, all... Right?
What was this whole Indian like when the... A woman, when you go past through the canal of the woman, you become tamei.
Sorry.
When the fetus goes through the canal of the woman.
Okay, that's another discussion. But that's not the direction he's going in. Regularly, uh-huh. He's not going in. This is pretty cool. Yeah. And and the Or Chaim actually even says that this symbolically represents the Geula Asida, the future Geula, because we go through tough times beforehand, Tuma, just like what he called. In other words, when the Jewish people are compared vis-a-vis the Rabbo Shem, are compared like a woman. Right? Like a woman. We're called Knesset Israel. We're called the Kala. We're the Kala.
The Jewish people.
Right. We're all like what he called. So when we, as it were, are L'Shem Shamayim, so when we will go through there's a difficult period. There's a time of Tuma. Right? A time of Tuma. Times of all different, in the end of days, right, is going to be recalled difficult times. Difficult times. But if we, as it were, we contribute our part, right? Then we will. Then afterwards, right? Then the Gula will come. The Zachar who will be rectified and record will be rectified will come.
That's really nice.
And then record, and that'll be the end of the whole
story.
Just
like the woman is considered sanctified because she's raising her child in the right way, and therefore she's considered like mohul, she's able to make herself into a vessel, so too is the Jewish people,
right,
who in these times are considered like a woman who are doing the right thing.
It's going through, but again, we're trying to do what's right, we're trying to do what's right, what do you call it, in the process of conception, in the process of carrying the child, in the process of birth, in the process of raising, etc., right, when we do that, again, there's much
more here in the Or HaChaim, but I think that's it's sufficient for our needs over here. Okay, Seder. Should we have a good Shabbos? Good Shabbos.